Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School. Here, you'll get fresh insight from the people at the very top of the tech companies who make the products we love. Remember, you can learn product management live online. Visit productschool.com to discover our new certificate path. There, you can also join the world's largest community of PMs and network with the leaders from these podcasts at our online events. There's something happening almost every day.
This is Mahesh Thakur. I'm excited to join you guys here today. I'm looking forward to discussing product experimentation and how do you actually go about achieving growth. We will be covering why do we even experiment today? What does culture and leadership mindset do with regards to experimentation? How are they connected? And finally, what should be your approach as product managers, as general managers, as CEOs to conducting and running experiments in your organization? So let's go ahead and get started right now. Let's talk about why do we even need to experiment? Whether you're in the technology world or non-tech world, experiment is super important for everybody. One of my favorite examples is actually from outside of tech. If you guys are familiar with the product called WD-40, the reason it's called 40 is because 39 times the inventors failed to create something which was interesting or which actually made a difference to the customers. And finally, the 40th time was a big hit. And that's how they named the product, the company, and hence WD-40. When you think about experimentation, it is something that is an interesting area because it almost always leads to growth. Growth means different things for different people, but broadly, growth is about bringing growth in your business. And when you talk about business growth, it means growth in the customers, how much they use the product, how much revenue it's generating, and the list goes on and on. If you are experimenting, you're actually giving yourself an opportunity to learn about the customer behaviors, about the ecosystem, about the landscape that you're operating in, and sometimes even learn about competition. Even if you fail, even if your experiments fail, which for the most part they do, they give you a tremendous opportunity to actually learn and grow. And that brings in the culture of continuous learning in the organization. So as we always know, the path to growth is nonlinear. Growth does not just happen. It's not, it's almost never a hockey stick growth, which is linear. So when you give yourself a chance to learn, you need to be prepared to iterate. You need to have that mindset of learning along the way. And it's also about that continuous learning loop that you set up in your organization. So the product experimentation folks are the product leaders in the organization. Oftentimes are the folks who inspire everybody by bringing together the team who understands the customers and their pain points to actually brainstorm on getting started with ideas. Those ideas are actually the first step, the first and basic step to getting started with experimentation. Let's now talk about the second part that I want to cover here, which is about the culture in an organization and the leadership mindset, which are very important for any company to even begin to talk about experimentation. I'm going to share some of my experiences from my work at Amazon and also observing the company for all these years. When I joined Amazon 10 plus years ago, I remember that the first day we were all introduced to this amazing Amazon growth flywheel. So if you look here, day one, you're discussing or starting to understand how the company thinks about growth, how the company is obsessed about customers and customer experience. And as we may all know, for Amazon, there are 14 leadership principles. And one of the important leadership principles is customer obsession. So now if you look at this flywheel, you see that in the center, you see the selection. The selection is basically having a big, broad selection of items for customers to choose from. So when you do have a lot of selection with lower prices, so you combine the ability to find any product on the planet across all categories, whether it is luxury, electronics, every category out there with amazingly low prices, competitive prices, that drives a very good customer experience. When that happens, you have more and more customers drawn to your site, drawn to your mobile app, And that traffic generates a lot of opportunities for business. And obviously with that kind of traffic, you're also going to start to attract more and more sellers who now want to sell on your platform, aka third-party marketplace. When you have lots of sellers and Amazon retail all selling items at the same time, that will collectively drive the cost structure down. When the cost structure comes down, you actually then have the opportunity to further drive the prices low, which will further drive improvements in the customer experience. And when you look at this flywheel, it keeps feeding itself. And this flywheel itself will drive growth, for the short term as well as the long term. And this flywheel, different elements of this flywheel, give the company collectively the opportunity to experiment in a wide variety of areas. So that's where the whole mindset for the company, the culture of the company, and how you inspire people as they join and as they grow their careers and lives with the company, it all becomes important. When you step back and also then start to look at the whole leadership mindset, like I mentioned with Amazon, it's the customer first mindset. You let the customers decide. There is also a significant amount of risk taking that's involved. The biggest example I would say is that Amazon Marketplace was born as an experiment to see what happens to the overall ecosystem when you bring in third-party sellers into the Amazon platform and allow them to sell pretty much the same product that Amazon retail was selling. Any business or any CEO would first start to think, would this actually cannibalize their own business? And in reality, it did. But Bezos let this Amazon marketplace run as an experiment with fewer categories and then expanded that across multiple categories and let the customers decide whether they wanted to buy that product from a third-party seller or from Amazon retail, whoever price was lower, whoever was able to get the product out there in the fastest way, competing for the customer and also at the lowest price, lowest combined price of the item, of the price of the item, the shipping cost, the tax, all involved. So now you've made your own platform very competitive, and finally let the customer decide whether they wanted to pick that product, whether they wanted to buy from retail or from sellers. And lastly, the third bullet talks about running meaningful tests. You can run tests and you can actually exhaust yourself and your teams all day long, but it really matters on what's your art and science to pick what's important and run only fewer and meaningful tests that matter. So when Amazon had that chance to run fewer experiments, even Amazon Prime was born after doing a few tests and experiments with ideas that the company had. So that's what matters. It doesn't mean you start testing every button and every control out there, but what you want to do is you want to step back and see what would make a meaningful difference to your customers, to your product, and finally also to your business, to then conduct those tests that really matter. Going to the next section, I would love to share what we as product leaders or product owners or general managers or CEOs can do in our role to approach experimentation in any organization. Now, some companies may have resources carved out to go run experiments separately, but more often than not, this is more of a culture, more of you as leaders inspiring your teams to take on novel approaches, new approaches to conduct experimentation. And when you do that, you first start by running rapid experiments. You'll brainstorm a set of ideas with your teams. You will start to discuss which are the ideas that you really want to put on the whiteboard. And then from those, articulate what is the value from each. That'll help you prioritize which experiments to run and which ones you can just put on the backlog for the future. But what will start initially is you allowing that whole process to establish itself across the organization and running rapid tests. During that time, you need to be prepared and you need to be willing to fail, because with every failure, you will at least bolster your process and also you will understand what's working versus what is not working. And again, failed experiments will also teach you something that will help the next experiment succeed. So capture the learning and share the learning across the organization during that phase when you get started with rapid experimentation in your organization. The next thing to do is always, always study the user behavior. Divide your users between the test and the control. And when you do that, you can closely observe what's happening with the test group, with the test audience, to see how are they responding to those changes. Are they liking your new offering or your new approach? And then continuously compare that test group to the control group and whether they are making rational choices or are they, are their behaviors irrational. Record them all, because that will help you understand how did they react or consume to what you did in terms of your experiment. And finally, as you conduct experiments, make sure you're keeping in mind one or two or three important business metrics or OKRs, because it's not just about driving a change. It's also about seeing what kind of meaningful impact does it deliver towards a bottom line or towards a top line or towards the final retention of customers and even net promoter scores, if you will, to show if customers really love it or not. So when you do track the core business or customer metrics and see how the experiments are benefiting them or influencing those metrics, that's always good. It's also important to know that if your experiment is doing a harm to these metrics, then obviously it's not in a step in the right direction. At the very minimum, the experimentation should be doing no harm to those metrics. And the best case scenario would be you've actually given the customers a solution, you've solved a problem, you've solved a pain point while improving the business metrics, which may be the true north for your organization. And so I would love to hear from you guys. What are some of your learnings or learnings from the failures? What are some of the successes that you had running these experiments in your organization? Because again, there is no one size fits all. Every organization has a unique approach to experimentation. But remember that you don't need to complete an entire product and then experiment. You can be lean. You can bring in prototypes to experiment. You can bring in things which are not fully complete and see how users respond to A versus B, and always continue to iterate new products that you're building. And for products which are already out there in production, you can always split up the traffic and see whether it is your consumer product or enterprise product. You can always split up the traffic and see how users respond to your experiments as you conduct them. So feel free to ping me and I'll be very curious to hear about your learning, about your successes as you set up and as you get started with using experimentation to bring growth to your product, your business, and your customers. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.